God. You know, that song came out right as COVID-19 started to kind of become public knowledge, and there was the whole fear, what's going on? I can remember my wife and I, we just put it on the TV, on YouTube, and just would listen to it as really a prayer. Some of you guys know when you don't have the words sometimes to describe a situation, sometimes a song like that can put a feeling into a picture. And I just think it's important that in moments of difficulty and in moments of trial and moments of pain, that you look to God and remember He is for you. He really is. And even though circumstances may not tell you that, can I tell you there's a truth that overrides all that, that says I'm for you, I'm with you, I'm even in the pain, I'm even in the struggle, I'm even in the difficulty. Amen? Well, I know we bawled our eyes out. We were sitting there and we were like crying our eyes out, just like, you know, we look silly, but it was good. Well, into this attitude of worship, I would love to bring God's word as you stay standing. And we're going to go to 2 Corinthians. If you have your Bible, you can turn and grab that, grab your phone, or grab your brick and mortar version, whichever one you prefer, the leather and paper. If you don't have it, don't worry. We've got it on the screen for you. And we're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. And it says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God. Verse 5, for as we share abundantly in Christ's suffering, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. And this week we're beginning a new message series we're calling Playing Hurt. Playing Hurt. And we're going to talk about suffering and pain and difficulty, which is interesting when you come to a church called Victory City Church. But how many of you guys know the sweetest victories come after the hardest seasons? And I want to encourage you this morning. And so before you're seated, will you just say hi to somebody next to you? Just give them a fist bump. Give them a hello. Give them a welcome. So I think we all have our quarantine stories of how we killed time. Some of us did DIY projects. Some of us put on 19 pounds. Some of us were bored out of our mind. Some of us, we binged Netflix. Some of us, we did really good. We read lots of books and studied God's word. Anybody? What I did, and it was really kind of the highlight, if there was a highlight in the middle of a challenging season, was ESPN put a documentary out called The Last Dance. The Last Dance, yeah. Now, I know we don't dance in church, do we? The Last Dance is a story of Michael Jordan and the Bulls on their final championship season. And this documentary followed the Bulls and the story. It followed Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, Steve Kerr, Tony Kukoc, Dennis Rodman, and all these characters and athletes as they sought for their final championship season. And one thing that really caught me is something that in the interview Michael Jordan said. And he was saying towards the end of their season, in the playoffs, he said, we were all hurting. We were all banged up in some way. You know, whether it was bad knees, whether it was hurt ankles, whether it was a bad shoulder. He said, none of us were pain-free, but we knew that we had to keep going because we wanted to win the title. And I think this assumption can be made of professional athletes that they're superhuman and they don't struggle with pain. But, I mean, you're going to watch probably some games this afternoon and watch people get hurt. I think about it like this in terms of how does that translate to our life. I think that we all go through seasons where we get a little banged up. We get a little hurt. Maybe our soul gets a sprain. Our heart gets a break. We experience pain in certain seasons, and unlike the Bulls, rather than playing hurt, we pull out of the game. We stop journeying with Jesus. We stop going to church. We pull out of really important relationships, and we begin to question, why is this happening to me? Has anybody ever asked that question? God, why is this happening to me? We even begin to question whether God is real in our life. God, if you were real and if you were good, you wouldn't let this happen to me. But how many of you guys know that sometimes pain can be the greatest teacher? And even if it's pain that we've caused ourselves or pain that someone else has caused, pain really can teach us better than blessing can. I think sometimes blessing is the product of playing hurt. Blessing is the product of playing through pain. Blessing is the product of going through a difficult season only to experience victory in your life. And, you know, Jesus really did promise us that we would experience pain in our life. In fact, in John 16, 33, it says that we will have many trials, many difficulties, and many sorrows. Can anybody give a testimony that Jesus kept his promise? Yeah. I didn't just have one or two. I've had many. Come on. Anybody ever have? You feel like it just doesn't stop. And for many of us, me included, rather than playing through pain, meaning staying in the game, staying in our purpose, staying in the role as a husband or mother, staying in what God has called us to do, when we experience pain, we take ourselves out. We go, coach or God, I need to sit on the bench. I can't do it anymore. God, I need to go to the locker room. I can't keep playing through this pain. Now here, let me just go ahead and set a caveat. We're going to journey through this for the next 4 weeks. I understand that there's a difference between an injury and pain. And we're going to talk about how to heal from injuries. So please do not assume that I expect if you tear an ACL, hey, get back in the game. What's the matter with you? Play hurt. But I think there's times when it's not an injury, it's just pain. Because pain can come in all different forms, can it? I mean, there's definitely the pain that someone else caused. There's definitely the pain of bad decisions. But then there's just the pain of using something. Like how many of you guys, you start working out and the next day you're like, ow, is that supposed to feel that way? You got trainers that tell you, is it a good pain or a bad pain? I don't know. I think all pain is bad pain, isn't it? So it's not simply just pain that someone caused. It's not just pain of poor decision. Sometimes there's just pain of use. And I think sometimes new believers and even experienced believers, God begins to use our life for his glory. And then we experience pain because I would call us, we're ministry sore. And we think that's a bad thing. So we pull out and we quit. And God was kind of go, well, that was kind of the point. Like you're supposed to feel a little sore. I played pickleball 2 weeks ago, which is my new favorite sport. So if somebody wants to start a connect group on pickleball, I will join. Pickleball is retirement tennis, and it's amazing. So we were playing pickleball, my brother and some friends, and we played for 3 hours in Oklahoma. It was 95 degrees on a tennis court, and I was having a blast. I was getting my tail whooped, but I was having a blast. And can I tell you, the next morning, come on, anybody over 30 years old know what the next morning feels like? When you get out of your bed and you're like, oh my goodness, I'm hurting all over. How do these retired people do this? But can I tell you that sometimes the pain that you've experienced just by walking in your calling, it's not a bad thing. But so many of us, we pull out because of the pain we've experienced by using our gifts. You know, we're hurt by the church, so we pull out. We claim church hurt. We are hurt by our spouse, so we distance ourselves and lose intimacy with our spouse, and we become roommates. People hurt us, so we reject any type of close relationship. Our sin hurts us, and so we begin to pull away from other people lest they find out about our sin, and that brings pain. And I think what we do is we pull out of the game, we pull away from hurt, hoping that if I sit out, the pain will go away. Maybe if I wait long enough, the pain will go away. But what happens is when we pull back waiting for pain to go away, we stop working on it. We stop working through it. And we stop allowing God to overcome it. How many of you guys know that sometimes the pain of working through an injury is more painful than the instant of the injury? Let me try to unpack that a little bit more. I think the pain of rehabbing a hurt is way more painful than when the first hurt happened. When I was 25, I was playing church league softball, and I slid into third base and snapped my ankle. My wife was really mad. She was like, "It's not the World Series. You don't get a paycheck. Please don't slide." And I slid in, and they did surgery on me on my left ankle, and right now I'm bionic. I've got a plate and 12 screws in there. And I was in a boot for 6 weeks, and after 6 weeks, I went to the rehab place, and they were like, "All right, we're going to have to start moving it." And I said, what are you talking about? And he's like, "Yeah, we got to get it moving." And I was like, "Well, the wound is just, like, it's still, like, purple and gross, and, like, the staples just came out." And he goes, "No, I still had a cankle." Y'all know what a cankle is? Like, it was big old grapefruit in there. It was just like my knee down to my ankle, same size, all the way down. One of all those guys who lift weights, you know, calves are the hardest things, right? So I lost all my calf in that moment. And so here I am with this cankle, and she's like, "We got to start moving it." And I was like, I don't want to start moving it. Can we wait? Where's the pain pills, right? Can I take some of those?" And they're like, "Nope." And she was like, we gotta get there." And so she puts this little rubber band on the end of my toe and holds it to the side. And she says, "We're going to have to start moving." And so as I began to move, I was like, "Ah!" You know, and I'm doing these little bitty movements. And you would think they're just the tiniest movement. How is it hurting so bad? I wonder if you've experienced that, the tiniest movement. The first time I came back to a church, it hurts. The first time I began to open up in relationship, it hurts. The first time I began to believe, the first time I began to trust, the first time I began to try to rehab this injury, it hurt worse. And so as I'm beginning to move and I'm screaming in pain, I'm like, "Man, it hurt worse when I did it. Like, or it hurts now than when I did it." And then she goes, "Well, okay, we got to ice it." And I'm thinking, like, the cute ice pack you do at home where you take a Ziploc bag, you put some ice in there, and you get a paper towel because, you know, you don't want it too cold, and then you put it on the injury. No, she didn't have an ice pack for me. She had an ice bucket. This is torture. She was like, "We're going to have 5 minutes in and 1 minute off." Can I tell you that 5 minutes felt like 5 hours? And so you sit, put your sore ankle into this ice bucket, and you're screaming in pain. You're hurting. And what she said to me, she says, "If we don't work on this, you will lose the mobility in your ankle. You won't be able to use it. You will only be able to have about 20% mobility if we don't work through this." And I wonder how many people, because we've refused to play hurt, refused to keep working on it, refused to rehab some of our pain, we've actually lost the use of the thing that was hurt. We've lost the use of belief. We've lost the use of trust. We've become serial cynics. We've become constant cynics or critics, where every person and situation we look at and we judge and we look for the wrong, because we've literally lost the ability to believe and hope. We've lost the ability to connect with other people because of the pain we've experienced in our life that literally causes us to be a castle in front of our heart that can be impenetrable. What happens when we pull out of pain and we try to sit on the sidelines hoping it goes away, we actually use the ability to love. We lose the ability to trust. We lose the ability that God has given us in our life to fulfill our purpose and to fulfill our destiny. So what I want to encourage you today is this: we have to play hurt. We have to stay in the game. You have to stay in that marriage. You got to stay in that church. You got to stay in that relationship and go, "I'm going to keep going. This friendship is not going to die. I'm not going to pull out of it." Because what happens is if we wait until it doesn't hurt, we could be waiting forever. We wait till it doesn't hurt, could be waiting forever. So here's what I want to do. Let's play doctor just for a minute. And you know, when the doctor begins to touch around a joint and he goes, "Where does it hurt?" And he touches there, and you're like, "That's not that bad." He touches there, "Nah, it's not that bad." Then he touches on that pain point, and you go, "Ha ha ha! That's where it hurts." Here's what I want everybody to do. Because we all have pain, we all have hurt, all of us, because God promises it. So let's just take our thumb or our finger and let's find the place in our soul and our heart or our spirit. Let's find the place in our emotions. Let's find the place in our mind and let's go to that painful place. Too many P's. So what I want you to do is this, is just in this moment, let's do this. So let's find it. Every person in the room, every person online, where does it hurt this morning? Where does the place that your wife doesn't know about, your husband doesn't know about, no friend knows about, where does the place that only you and God knows the place that hurts? And I want you to poke on it. I want you to feel it for just a second. If it's loneliness, I want you to put your finger right on that loneliness. If it's anxiety, I want you to put that place right on anxiety. If it's you've been hurt by the church, I want you to put your finger right on that place of church hurt. And I want you to sit there for a minute. Because what I want to do for the next 4 weeks and for today, I want to talk about that thing. And I want to believe with the Holy Spirit's help that He will help guide us and lead us and heal us and help us playing hurt. Because can I tell you something? There is a testimony on the other side of your pain. There is a product of victory that God wants to produce in your life. And can I tell you, it's found on the road of pain. Welcome 10 a.m. service to Victory City Church. We're so glad you're here. Next month, we'll talk about the blessings of God, but can I tell you that sometimes the pain can be the actual blessing? The pain can be the blessing. Jesus would not promise something if there wasn't something He wanted to produce in our life, and it's often found through pain. You see, it's that thing that you're poking on right now, which I hope you are, which you're thinking of, and you've got that thing in your mind that Paul writes to us in 2 Corinthians 1 verse 3, and he says this, "Blessed be the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort." I find it interesting that Paul, in the middle of pain, can still declare, "Blessed be the God." But then he says, "the God of all comfort." Can I tell you that comfort is not pity? Comfort is not sympathy? And here's the deal, if I don't have pain and difficulty in my life, then I will never experience the God of all comfort. So I will miss out on an aspect of God that I will be able to learn and be taught from. And here's the deal, if I don't need comfort if everything is going great. I don't need comfort if nothing hurts. I don't need comfort if every area of my life is always being blessed. You see, comfort is for the areas of pain. Comfort is the area that feels broken. Comfort is for the relationships that feel lost. Comfort is for the disillusionment. Comfort is the place in with God that He helps you play through the pain. He tells you, don't quit. I have something for you on the other end. Don't stop. Don't pull out. Stay in the game. Keep playing hurt. I know it's painful. I know you have a knock, but can I tell you, 80% of you is better than 0% of you. And some of you, maybe you feel like all I can really give God is half of me because I'm too hurt. Can I tell you, when you pull out, 50% is better than 0%. Come on, 10% is better than 0%. See, comfort is not God's pity. What comfort is God's strength. The word comfort actually comes from the Latin word fortis, fortitude, strength, the ability to continue to persevere, the ability to continue to overcome. So when God says He is the God of all comfort, He does not mean, oh. When He's the God of all comfort, that means this, every pain, any inadequacy, every problem, I am strength for that. I am hope for that. I am joy for that. I am the solution to that problem in that situation, the God of all comfort. All comfort. You know, fear of pain is actually like a real thing. It's this term, and I feel really educated when I say this because I Googled it. It's this term called kinesiophobia. Kinesiophobia, the fear of movement, the fear of playing again, the fear of playing hurt. Come on, somebody, can you say it with me? Kinesiophobia. So good. Y'all sound great. You see, there's a healthy way to heal when someone experiences pain because we've all experienced pain. We've all experienced injury, and they're going to throw this on there. It's this cycle, right? And the healthy cycle is found here in community. And let's go to the pain point there, Austin. And you see, we all have a pain that comes from an injury, betrayal, loss, offense. Something has happened to all of us in some capacity that causes pain in your life. So let's try this one more time, even online, in the room. How many of you have experienced pain in your life? Let me see your hands. Great. That's everybody. And if you didn't raise your hand, you're a liar. Okay. So a healthy cycle goes this. Okay, pain happens. What's the next step? I've got to put it back together. I've got to repair it. So whether I go into surgery, I got to do something to fix the ligaments. I got to fix the problems. And then from repair goes to rehab. Rehab is a painful place. Rehab hurts, but it's worth it. And after rehab, you experience recovery. Now, many of you, you've gone through this process, right? Because you go, okay, I got hurt. God, you got to put me back together. God, I got to begin to trust again. And then after a few months, a few years, you find yourself back, even maybe stronger than before. But there's some of us that get stuck in the kinesiophobia cycle. It's a big theological term. It's actually not. And what happens is we experience pain, and the first thing we do in kinesiophobia is exaggerate. It's the end of the world. My life is over. I'm never trusting a church again. I'm never trusting a woman again. I'm never trusting a man again. I'm never trusting people again. I'm never trusting the government again, which might be bad. I'm never trusting, you know, having fun. We exaggerate. Now, how many of you guys know this? That sometimes we can make an injury and pain bigger than it actually is. Now, what I'm not trying to do is demean the experience you've gone through, but sometimes we lose perspective in pain. Let me try it a little bit differently so you can honestly answer. How many of you guys have a friend who exaggerates their pain? You have a friend. They tell you about their pain, and it's real. You're trying to help them, but at the end of the day, you're kind of like, but you can get over this. And they're like, no, I can't. I'm done. So what happens is we exaggerate and we go, God can't deal with this. God, where are you? God, you're through with me. God, forget you. I'm out of here. And we exaggerate the pain moment. And what happens is this is next. Then we start avoiding it. Well, I'm going to protect myself to the place where I'll never get hurt again. So we avoid. We're out of church for 10 years. We're out of meaning relationships for 5 years. We don't give love another chance. We don't give our gifts another chance. We don't try to share the gospel because that one time I was rejected and I never want to do that again because that was the end of the world. And so what we do is we avoid it all. We stop playing hurt. We go to sit on the bench of life. We sit in the stands. And how many of you guys know the best critics sit in the stands? Come on, some of y'all are going to play armchair quarterback this afternoon. Dak Prescott, what, man, you know. Hey, Dak played well. I'm proud of him. Come on, boys, right? Okay. And we avoid because we're hurt. And then what happens is this final one that creates more is we stop using it. We stop using love. We stop using hope. We stop using faith. We stop believing for God. Believing in God that He can do the miraculous. We stop trusting in His love for us. We stop using the power of salvation in our life. We stop using God's word. We stop using meaningful friendships and relationships. And so what that does is it creates even more pain. And it cycles back into pain, which cycles into exaggeration. And then we get stuck in this giant cycle. And here's the deal. I want to unpack this over the next 4 weeks, but I can only pick one thing today, and I want to do this right here, and it's this right here. If I'm going to play hurt, okay, Pastor Eric, I'm going to lean in. I'm going to go this side of the cycle. If I'm going to play hurt, here's what I have to do. I cannot play alone. I can't play alone. Christian faith is not golf where everything rides on you. See, the power of the Bulls was in this huddle when they came in, I'm hurting, and they had other teammates to lift them and carry them and go, we're going to make it through this. And can I tell you, the community of faith that is Victory City Church is a team. You're not alone. You don't have to go through pain by yourself. You don't have to play through pain by yourself, but you can lean into community. Well, community is what hurt me. You can either exaggerate it, avoid it, stop using it, and then more pain happens in your life. Or you can go through the rehab process, which we're going to talk about in the next few weeks. And if you've got a friend that could use this series, bring them. Because we're going to talk about these things. Because can I tell you, following Jesus is not always happy, healthy, and wealthy. Sometimes it's suffering. Sometimes it's difficulty. And can I tell you, the greatest testimony in our life is not your blessings, but how you handle pain. Everybody gets raises, but who can hold on to their joy through betrayal? Who can believe the best in people after they've been offended? Who can still believe that the church is the greatest force in humanity and after being hurt by a church? If I'm going to play hurt, I cannot hurt alone. So I want to give you three thoughts this morning. We're going to move through this, and I want to get really practical with you. The first one is this, is I must, to not play by myself, to not play alone so that I can continue to play hurt, it's this right here, is I must invite Christ into my pain. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 5 says this, for as we share abundantly in Christ's suffering, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. Can I tell you that God is not distant from your pain? And for many of you, the pain actually caused you to push away from God because you ask questions like, God, if you love me, how would you let me go through this? God, if you're really there for me, why won't you take it away? And I wonder whether God doesn't want to take away pain because he wants to teach you perseverance. He wants to teach you faithfulness. He wants to teach you that he's the God of all comfort, even in the middle of pain. Because if I'm not hurting, I don't need comfort. You see, there's a scripture that says to cast all your cares upon him. And in the Bible, that wasn't a fishing term. That was a way of saying, I want to cast off restraint. I want to throw off the chains. I want to throw off the things that bind me. And I think a lot of times pain begins to restrict us to the point where we feel like we're in bondage to that pain. We feel like we're trapped to that hurt. And can I tell you, when you invite Christ in, what you do is you cast off the chains that bind you and you put it on him. Because here's the deal, you cannot break the chains of hurt by yourself. Only Christ can do it for you. So let's get real practical. What does that actually look like? I think it looks like this, that when you experience pain, and how many of you guys know that sometimes pain, you can think about it multiple times a day. You can be triggered. That's a common word in today's society. Everybody's triggered. I'm triggered for that. I'm triggered. You trigger me. Isn't it funny that I could just be who I am and it triggers people? I'm just like, I'm sorry. I'm a white American male and I trigger you. I don't get it. Everybody's triggered. And here's what we have to do when we invite Christ into our pain is this, is we have to literally dump on God. So this looks like simple prayers that last 30 seconds, but when the moment comes and you start to feel the pain, what you have to do is literally articulate your pain to God. God, here, I'm hurting right now. And God may not change your circumstance. God may not fix it all, but what God begins to do is give you moments of peace in there. And here's the deal. The first prayer may last 30 seconds and you may only have 60 seconds of peace. But if I do it every single day, then 60 seconds goes to 60 minutes. And 60 minutes goes to 60 hours. And 60 hours goes to 60 days. And 60 days goes to 60 years. But it all starts every single time I have that pain point in my life, I invite Christ in by literally explaining it to him. Give it to him in detail. Because here's the deal. You dump on your friends. You dump onto social media. Don't you think God can handle your pain? And here's the deal. When I invite Christ into my pain, I invite power. I invite power into my life. I invite hope into my life. I invite strength into my life. I invite the God of all comfort into my life. And can I tell you that because of your pain, maybe some of you have been running from God. Can I tell you, pain should cause you to run to God, not from God. Pain should cause you to go, God, I can't handle this. I can't stay in this game if I don't have you. So I'm going to hold on to you Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Every day I'm going to wake up, and even if I feel it, I'm going to cast it on you. I'm going to throw the chains off of me, and I'm going to throw it onto you, because you're the only one that can break it. You're the only one that can restore it. You're the only one that can strengthen me. So I want to encourage you, if I'm going to play hurt, I can't play alone. And some of you are trying to play alone without Christ. You got to go through him. You got to go through Christ. Second thought for you is this, real practical this, is participate in the church. Participation actually leads to perspective. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 6 says this, if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are afflicted, it's for your comfort. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. So Paul's saying here, sufferings are going to come. Endure them. Sufferings are going to happen. Share them. Pain's going to be a problem. Play through it. My daughter Josephine, man, she's a fireball. She's 5 years old, and she feels very strongly in all things. She has real high highs and real low lows. And one of the challenges is when she gets an owie. Funny thing is when she gets an owie, she thinks that my father-in-law Jim's the doctor. So anything he says, and if I say anything, she's like, no, Poppy has to tell me what to do. But she freaks out every time she skins her knee, or you know, she sees blood. How many of you guys have kids? The minute they see blood, it's like, ah, life's over, right? You know, it's like, I can't do it. So the other day she's playing, she skins her knee, and she comes in screaming, you know, and it's like major exaggeration, you know. And so we're trying to put some Neosporin on it, try to clean it, hydrogen peroxide, which she feels like is acid. It's not. And she screamed, no, don't. And we can't even get close to it because she's fighting us off. And I'm like, it's literally a scrape on your knee. What are you doing? And then Ella came in, and Ella's our oldest daughter. She came in and she said, don't worry, JoJo. Here's my owie too. And Ella showed JoJo her owie, and JoJo didn't calm down completely, but calmed down enough for us to treat it. You see, JoJo was only able to calm down and come off exaggeration when she saw that someone else had gone through pain too. You see, when we participate in God's church, what we gain is a level of perspective that goes, I'm hurting, but they've hurt too. But they're still playing. They're still moving forward. They're still making it. And if they can do it, so can I. Maybe my pain wasn't the end of the world. Maybe my pain wasn't something that I'll never be able to overcome. Maybe I can overcome it. And the beauty of testimony, the beauty of rubbing shoulders, the beauty of the church is this. We're not just a crowd, but we're a congregation. We're a family. We're a movement trying to reach people for Jesus. And so when we lean in with one another, guess what we get to do? We get to show one another our owies. It's very academic. Your boo-boo. That's the beauty of when we worship God. Because here's what we do when we're worshiping God and we lift our hands and begin to declare him king. What that means is this, is it gives us a little bit of perspective. Because here's the deal, every single one of you, you raised your hand when you said, I experienced pain. But can I ask you, do every single one of you lift your hands and rejoice and declare God king? Maybe not, because maybe your pain is keeping you from doing that. Here's the deal. That's the beauty of a worship service. I know they went through pain, but they're still praising. And I know when they went through hurt, but God healed them. And I know they have difficulty, but they're still going. If they can do it, so can I. If God was faithful to them, God will be faithful to me. And here's the deal. The lobby time gets to be the great boo-boo contest. Like, truthfully, Like, I meet people all the time, and I try to be a connector, and there's a couple they're trying to adopt, and there's another couple that are trying to adopt, and there's some painful moments and difficulty. And literally last week, I was like, hey, y'all get together. You see, when you get to participate in the mission of God, what it does is it gives you perspective. What God is trying to do through me is more important than how the pain is trying to destroy me. And I can play hurt because there's a victory on the other side. There's purpose on the other side. There's a destiny on the other side. And I'm not going to stop here. So get on a dream team. Begin to serve. Begin to get in community. Begin to participate. Here's a really big one for all my new believers. Just come back to church. Try to go 8 weeks in a row. I know that was like, whoa. It's way too much. Just get in God's house and begin to participate. And guess what you begin to see? You begin to back out of exaggeration. You begin to back out of avoidance. And you start recovering. You start rehabbing. You start making your journey on the way where God begins to repair you. Can I tell you that just spending an hour in God's presence can do a whole lot for you? It can set your week off right. Start your week off participating in God's house. So I have this thought, and you can write it down, you can pray over it, you can disagree with it. Totally your choice. Participation in Christ Church brings perspective that we all have hurts. And isn't it funny that God typically heals us by sending us back to the place that hurt us? Like the only way to fix your marriage is to go back to your marriage. You ever think about that? Like the only way to overcome church hurt is to go back to the church. The only way to overcome bad relationships and bad friendships is to go back to friendships. Like God doesn't have an alternate plan. He's like, oh, okay, church hurt you. Okay, cool. Well, I've invented this new thing and where you can just do church by yourself. Hey, okay, I've invented this new thing. Instead of friendships, you can just have lots of Instagram followers. And that will fill all the voids in your life. Anybody say that does? No? Okay, cool. I mean, some of you guys, Facebook has literally stopped letting you have friends. They cap you out at 5,000. Mark says, listen, you're way too friendly. Okay, you know, we got to shut this thing down. So God doesn't offer something new. He just sends you back usually to the place of hurt. But he says, hey, I want to go with you. So I had this last one. It's kind of a zinger. Maybe it's not. Maybe I overthink it. But I would say this, remember, if you're hurting, that's a good thing because the people in the world, they're dead. They don't feel anything. So those who are lost are dead. If we're hurting, that means we're still feeling. That means there's still blood pumping through our veins. And if we're hurting, they're dead. And some I got some believers that want to live church like they want social distancing in heaven. We can't have too many people in heaven because we got 6 feet apart. Here's the deal. In heaven, I want to be shoulder to shoulder, baby. So I'm going to do everything I can to reach as many people as possible. So I'm going to go after those people. I'm going to get purposed. I'm going to get on a mission. I'm going to start participating. I'm going to play hurt because the victory for this church is helping every person take a step closer to Jesus. Every person, those who are far, just take a step. Those who are beginning, just take a step. Those who are hurting, just take a step. Those who have said yes to Jesus, just take a step of baptism. You see how participation starts moving? It's like the rehab. It's like, keep moving. Final thing, then we're going to close and respond to this Holy Spirit, and that's this. Is if I invite Christ into my pain, it brings power. If I begin to participate in the church, it brings perspective. And the third one is this, is I have to initiate community. And what that does is bring purpose. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 through 4 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our afflictions so that, everybody say so that. Come on, get in your spirit. One more time, say so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction. Any affliction. Any. Not just the plight of afflictions. The dark afflictions. The scary afflictions. The afflictions that offend Democrats and the afflictions that offend Republicans. The afflictions that feel like, I don't know how to deal with this. We must bring comfort to those who have any affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. How many of you guys do this in your relationships or marriages or friendships? When you're hurt, you do the cold shoulder. Or you begin to pout. You wouldn't say pout because you have too much self-respect. Your friends would say it's pout. But you begin to pout a little bit. You know, like you're hurt, and so at the party, you're just not going to talk to anybody. You're going to sit in the corner. And you do it strategically because you hope they come talk to you. Hey, what's going on? Nothing. And they got to ask a minimum of like 4 times. How many times in a marriage your spouse hurts you, and so cold shoulder? How's your day? Fine. Okay. Why are you doing that? Nothing. I'm fine. No big deal. And then you wonder why your wife serves you ham sandwiches for dinner for a month, and you're like, what's going on? I got white bread, one piece of ham, and Kraft American cheese. Listen, Natalie doesn't do that. I'm just saying. She puts 2 pieces of ham. So here's the deal. But we pout, don't we? We come to church, we don't want to talk to anybody. Like we make a beeline for the parking lot, and you got nowhere to go. Because you got to rush home and watch your Netflix series, which is on demand. And we pout, we sit in the corner. And isn't it funny that we start to judge the people for not coming to talk to us? The church isn't friendly. Did you talk to anybody? Well, no. Did you say hi to anybody? Well, no. Did you show up late and then leave early? Well, I'm just busy. Isn't it funny that when we sit in the corner and pout, we judge everybody else because our pain causes us to sit in the corner? Here's like if you're gonna hurt, don't hurt alone. So here's my challenge to you: initiate the community. We are launching connect groups for people who have hurt in their life. And guess what? You all raised your hand. Now, if you're the one person who didn't because I didn't see you and you're sitting there judging me, fine, whatever, cool. But we all have hurt. So rather than pouting in the corner and waiting for somebody to talk to us, what if we were bold enough and believed God enough that he has you here for a reason? He has you at Victory City Church for a reason. And you may still be trying us out. That's fine. Well, we haven't really decided if this is going to be our home church. That's cool. That's cool. But God doesn't have you here by accident. And maybe there's people here that want to walk with you, want to carry your burdens, want to strengthen you, want to say, hey, I'm with you. I'm not going to let you fall. I'm going to journey with you. When you're hurting, I'm going to call you. So here's the deal. Here's my real big practical application. Initiate community. If you don't see a group you like, start one. Pickleball, I'm telling you, I will join your group. Start a group. Hey, recently divorced, start a group. Hey, my child is going through pain, start a group. Hey, I lost my job, start a group. Join a group. Get in with people. You must initiate the community, because here's the deal. If you stand in the corner, you're going to be standing in the corner for a while. And you're going to find yourself alone. Maybe connect groups not for you. Fine, do a personal meeting. Hey, can we go to coffee? Because here's the deal. You're going to experience pain either way. Like you'll experience pain of being alone, or you'll experience the pain of just that awkward, like, hey, can we get coffee? Can I just talk to you about some things? Here's the deal. I've never heard of somebody when another person asks, hey, can we get coffee? Going, ooh, no way. Never heard somebody do that. Never heard of that. And if you're that person, this probably isn't your church for you. Because we love people here. So I've got to initiate it. Galatians 6 verse 2 says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. You see, when I initiate community, I give purpose to my pain. Can I tell you, the thing that connects us with other people is not our perfection. It's our pain. The thing that makes you more authentic is not how good you are and how all perfect you are and how amazing you are and all those things. Can I tell you, the thing that connects you with other people is your pain. Yeah, I've hurt too, but God brought me through. Yeah, I was hurting too, and I played hurt, and you can too. You have something that gives that purpose. And I think when we carry one another's burdens, we are so much like Christ, because what did Christ do on the cross? He carried the burden of your sin. You want to be like Christ? For real? Carry another person's burden. Be inconvenienced by their pain. You think Jesus wasn't inconvenienced? God, are you for real? The whole world sin? All of them. Even Eric's. Yeah, Eric's too. Okay, because he keeps going. So is this like a one-time thing? Or is this like a... forever. You see, when we carry another person's burden, that's why it says it fulfills the law of Christ. It comes full circle. And for those of you who do not know Jesus, can I tell you this? That Jesus carried your burden, carried your sin, carried your judgment, and he says, I love you enough, I'll carry it all. Put it on my back, put it in my hands, put it on my soul, and I will die for you so that you can have life. So when we carry one another's burdens, we literally give people life. Now, we're not Jesus, actually. So don't hear me. I'm not trying to theologically say you're little gods. That's not what I'm saying. But we're little God followers. We're little people who follow a big God and do what God did and begin to add his behavior into our life and just take one step closer to Jesus. Let's pray. God, I pray you speak to every person. Speak to our hearts. God, I pray for the person in pain right now, hurting right now, Father. And I pray you speak to their heart right now and tell them they're not alone, that God, you're with them. God, I pray you speak to the person, God, who feels alone in community. And I pray you speak to the person in the corner right now. Maybe they're pouting. And God, maybe you're speaking to, come on out. Come on out. God, I pray you speak to the person who's been hurt by the church. And God, I pray you speak to them right now. God, whether it's this church or another church, the church is where you want them. With every head bowed and every eye closed as we continue to pray, I want to pray. I want to invite you, if you have never made a decision to follow Jesus by surrendering your life to him, I want to lead you in a prayer. I want you to pray this prayer with me. And church family, let's say this together. Say, Jesus, today I surrender my life to you. I invite you into my pain. Forgive me of my sins. Heal me. Restore me. And help me follow you. I'm yours, Jesus. And you are mine. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you, church.